Father, I ask now that you would bless and anoint these next moments of time. Father, as I share the word and the message that you have given me, Father, that it would touch lives, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night, Brother Steve was giving us a Bible study, and I, as I sometimes do, read the verses either below it or above it. And I was reading some of the verses below it, and something just struck me there on one of the verses. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, this must have been pretty important, because you see, this scripture is repeated in Mark chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, and Luke chapter 11, verse 17. So it's in there three times. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And it's brought to desolation. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It will eventually splinter and crumble somewhere. Division. You know, if you stop to think about it, people are divided. And you think back, this has been going on since the beginning of time, that people are divided against each other. And you read back in the Old Testament of events that happened where there was division in the midst of people. And it caused things to happen. There was jealousy that caused division. There were other things that caused division. But there were any number of things that caused people to be divided against themselves. And we bring forward from the time of the Old Testament into today's day and age, and we still find people are divided on a number of things. All you have to do is read the newspaper, watch TV and watch the news, watch some of the channels that just have a lot of commentary, and you find out that people are divided. All you got to do is walk down the street, and you find out people are divided. They're divided in opinions, they're divided in how we should do this, that, and sometimes it spills over into the household, and people are divided in the same house. We have division. We see these things going on constantly. Our nation is divided. But then again, that's nothing new either. Go back into the Old Testament, and here was this mighty nation that was established by God called Israel. They had a king by the name of Saul, who was their first king. He was followed up by a king named David, who, by the way, God goes on to say in his word that David's kingdom would be established forever. In fact, in the New Testament, it says Jesus would sit upon the throne of his father David, and his kingdom would be forever. But you see, David's kingdom was then followed by Solomon, his son, wisest man. Although he did some very stupid things. So wise men, being wise does not guarantee you do not do stupid things, right? He did some dumb things. Let's face it, folks, any guy that married 900 and some women did some stupid things. You know? And then his kingdom was followed by one of his sons. And what happened in the midst of all of it? The kingdom became divided. The 10 tribes and the tribe of Judah along with Levi. And it became a divided kingdom. They fought against each other at times. fact, actually, for all intent and purposes, 10 of the tribes seem to have disappeared off of the face of the earth almost. They were scattered. Who knows where? There are many people and many scholars who say, well, we think that some of them went here and some of them went there. But the thing is, they were divided. And it's because of differences of opinion. It came to do, I believe, if I remember correctly, over something to do with money. Oh, that brings a lot of division in homes. It brings division among people. It brings division in the nation when you start to talk about money. Let's face it, if just somebody starts to talk about raising your taxes, what do? You get upset. You become divided against some of them, you know. And there'll be other people. I just loved it the other day when one guy got up and said, oh, Americans are willing to pay a lot more taxes. I thought, you're not speaking for this American. You know, show me the American you're talking about. You know, but that's what was said. Division. Our country's been divided over a number of things. There was a time in our nation's history when our nation itself was divided. It was divided into the North and the South. And those of us living here in Tennessee and some of the surrounding states, you walk, don't have to go very far till you come upon a Civil War battlefield site. And we have a number of them here in our general area. I was born in a hospital that was located right across from a Civil War battlefield. The battlefield is still there. The hospital's gone, but the battlefield is still there. A reminder of a time that our nation was divided. So nations get divided. And I really don't know for sure what would have happened had that division continued, but it would have not have been good for either side in the long run. But the nation was divided. We have nations divided today. You find people within a particular country fighting against each other. And you find that especially in the Middle East right now, that there are areas where people are divided as to how things should be. Our own country, there's division right now. And you might say, well, we're a united people, but we're not. We're a divided people. And the church is divided. We don't stop to think about the church being divided so much. And we can look back and say, yeah, well, the church is divided into, there's the Roman Catholics. And I have to be specific there, because Roman Catholics, you see, the word Catholic actually means universal church. So that takes in all of us. By that sense, that term of definition, everyone is a Catholic. So we have to be understanding that it's Roman Catholics and then Protestants. Now, the Catholic Church has somewhat got their act together as far as not being divided, but we'll get into that a little bit more. But the Protestant Church is divided. How many denominations is the Protestant Church divided into? I don't even have an idea anymore. And I'm not sure that anybody knows how many we're divided into. And we have our own little things, and some of them, if you don't belong to my denomination, then you're lost. Only my denomination is going to be in heaven sitting at the feet of Jesus. Rest of you are going to be somewhere else, but it's not going to be there. Anybody ever hear that? No. I think I've mentioned here in church once before that when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a Pentecostal denomination that's well known. And not so much that they taught that, but somehow the impression got made in my mind. So somebody must have said something somewhere. But the impression got in my mind that I can remember when I was in junior high school, I felt sorry for those poor Baptist kids. Because they were going to hell and they just didn't know it. Because if you weren't a member of the group I belong to, you weren't going to make it. Well, that's sad to think about. But we're so divided that way. We're divided on whether you should wear your hair long or short, or whether or not women should wear makeup or not. Now we have to be divided about whether or not men should wear makeup, you know. and all kinds of things like that. But we're divided. But the biggest division comes into the fact that we're divided in what the Word of God has to say. That's the sad part. I mean, we can nitpick over about, you know, whether you color your hair or don't color your hair, whether you comb it straight back or you part it on the side, or whether ladies wear lipstick or not, or fingernail polish or not. That's nitpicky stuff. But we're divided about what the Word of God has to say. Whether sin is sin. Now, I'm of the firm opinion that if the Bible says sin is sin, it's sin. No question about it. There's no discussion. It's sin. And I know there are some things that one church may say a sin and another church may not say a sin, and the Bible has nothing to say about it at all. And so we can dispute back and forth on that, but if the Bible itself, the Word of God, says something is sin, then it is sin. There's no discussion there. Or there shouldn't be. But yet we're finding people in churches that have proclaimed the Word of God for hundreds of years, all of a sudden saying, well, no, the Bible really didn't mean that. Well, that was for the church years ago. But whatever, we gotta modernize things. It's just like our government right now saying that the Constitution is a living document and we should change it to the times. When the founders of our nation wrote out the Constitution, they meant specific things. And they meant it to apply specific ways. They didn't leave it open that you should come along 200 years later and interpret it again and say that it meant something totally different, because they knew what they were talking about. And I'll tell you this, if we had hung true in this country to what the founders and framers of our country had said and said in those documents, we'd be in a lot better position today than we are. Because they built this nation upon establishment that it was a Christian nation, and there's a nation that recognized God. And today, we want to take God out of everything. We kicked him out of the schools. We kicked him out of other things. And I know there are people that are trying to get prayer back in schools, and I've told you before, I'll tell you again, I'm against it. And I know that shocks some Christians when I say I'm against putting prayer back in schools, because now that would mean anybody's prayer could go back into schools. And there's some prayers I don't want prayed in the schools. Because how do I know it isn't some Wiccan praying a prayer? A witchcraft prayer. How do I know that wouldn't happen? So no, I don't want it back in school now for that reason. But we have kicked God out of stuff. The church has divided itself over nitpicky things. And we've divided ourselves over interpretation of the Scripture as to what Jesus had to say and what the Word of God has to say, to the point where we're saying sin is not sin anymore. And all you got to do is, again, watch some of the preachers on TV, and some of them are pretty liberal. And you know, let's have a good time. Let's do this or let's do that. And Jesus really didn't mean this. Well, I believe Jesus knew what he was talking about. Amen. And if he said it was sin, it's sin. I mean, I take it he was the Son of God. Or is the Son of God. If he said it, then I think he knows what he's talking about. So the church is being divided over liberal are into liberal and conservative camps, so to speak, just as we have done politically. You've got liberal camps and conservative camps. In the church, we've got liberal camps and conservative camps. We've got the conservative camps that say, this is the Word of God. We're going to interpret it the way it's written here. We're going to believe it the way it's written here. And we're going to follow it the way it's written here. And then we've got the liberal camp that say, well, this was just a guideline, you know, and it's a document. We can change it to suit our needs today. And we begin to leave Jesus and the power of God and the Holy Spirit, all of that we begin to leave out of the church. And pretty soon it becomes that the church gets to a place that it's nothing more than a social gathering place where you come together to network In fact, I've taken some classes that involve networking, and one of the things they told you, go to church. It's a good place to network. You can meet people there that can help you in your line of business. Let's just use an example. Reese back there has a business installing telephones and working on telephones. And so Reese could go to a church that had a lot of businessmen that needed telephones, and he could begin to network there. He could go there specifically for that purpose, that I'm going to grow my business by the contacts that I make here at church with these people that own businesses. Well, that's going to church for the wrong purpose to start with. But that's the way it's done in some cases. We go there for what we can financially or socially gain from it. But here's something that kind of shocked me. And as I said, part of it's in your bulletin. That's why I didn't want you reading it just now. I just took a clip of what's in the bulletin, and that's only a brief portion of the entire article. But this appeared in the English version of Pravda just this past week. And I'm picking up in the middle of something here, but here's what he has to say, talking about the churches. He says, their televangelists and top Protestant mega preachers were more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. Their flocks may complain, but when they explain that they would be on the winning side, aha, be on the winning side. Oh, we all want to be winners, don't we? We can be on the winning side if we do this. So when explained they'd be on the winning side, their flocks were ever so quick to reject Christ and hopes for earthly power. Now you got to think a minute. This is a guy that grew up writing for a newspaper that was under a Marxist regime that rejected God. He goes on to say, talking about the Russian Orthodox Church, he says, even our holy Orthodox churches are scandalously liberalized in America. That's a sad comment on the church in America. When you've got a person who was a part of a regime that denied God and said there was no God, that is writing and saying, our churches are scandalously liberalized. We're following after power. We're following after money. And sad to say, he's right in a lot of cases. I don't watch a lot of stuff on TV as far as church services or what's on Christian, quote unquote, Christian television. Some of it on just regular television channels. But I have, and sometimes it disgusts me, where I've watched a program, and 30-minute program, which breaks down into about actually 25 minutes in length. You've got 20 minutes of talking about send me money and you're going to get more money. And a couple of minutes they might mention God. And I've listened to some that God never got mentioned, but send me money did. And we've listened to other things that you do this or do that, and it's going to bring you fame and fortune. And if you're living for God the way that we're teaching you should be living for God, you should all be living in fancy homes and driving Mercedes. I don't think that Jesus drove a Mercedes. He didn't even own a donkey of his own, really. Didn't have a fancy home. That tells you something right there, that that's not the important part. Nothing wrong with having a nice home. Nothing wrong with driving a Mercedes if you can afford it. But don't expect just because you attend church and put money in the offering plate that that's what you're going to get. But there are some that would teach that. And then when things don't go right, that person then says, I have no faith or confidence in God anymore. He didn't answer my prayer. I did all these things that I was told, and God didn't come through. Well, God didn't come through because you were told a lie to start with. But our churches are divided that way. We're split over things. Read the newspaper. Some of the older mainline denominations are being split right now. Right here in Middle Tennessee, one church in particular, one denomination in particular, is the Episcopal Church. And it's been split. Some of them departing and joining the Anglican community in other countries as opposed to the Episcopal Church in America, because a difference of Scripture and what the Word of God has to say. And unfortunately, the American church is not following what the Word of God has to say. And I applaud those churches who have left and said, we're going to try to follow God. But the church is being split and divided. You know what? The devil would like nothing better than for every church to be split. And we see it within churches, individual churches, non-denominational churches. Something will happen and the devil will get a foothold in the door and the church will get split, and you might have 200 people one day and the next week you might have 50 people because the devil came in and split the church and two-thirds of them went another direction. That's what the devil's out to do today and try to do today, is to split the church and to divide the church. And I'll have to say he's been doing a pretty good job with the church world as a whole. But I want to read to you a statement that Jesus made. And I don't know, you might even find this statement shocking, especially when I read it in a different translation other than English or the King James. Luke chapter 12, again, verses 49 through 53. And Jesus says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Boy, you got to talk about a scripture that's been fulfilled. Look around in the world today in society. Households are divided. And you very rarely find a household where everybody in the household gets along with one another. And of course, there's always the old joke, you know, about the son-in-law doesn't get along with the mother-in-law, you know. You hear these mother-in-law jokes and stuff. But Jesus said right here that was going to happen. This thing was going to take place. Now, I want to just kind of clarify a couple of things here, because we're dealing with good old 16th century King James here. Verse 50 says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He says, basically, in another translation, I have an immersion to undergo. How pressured I feel till it's over. Jesus felt pressure. There were intense moments. After all, he was living in a human body. He was feeling the stuff that we go through. He says, I'm pressured because of this. And then he says, in verse 51, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. The Greek word diamorismos means disunion of opinion and conduct, or division. Another translation of verse 51 says, do you think that I am come to bring peace on earth? No, indeed. I came to make people choose sides. And another version says, reading verses 49 through 53, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. A lot of people come to turn things upside down, but Jesus came to turn it right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and to make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. And Jesus came to disrupt and confront sin. But how many in the church are disrupting and confronting sin today? Oh, well, just let them go on their way. Time has it that we have to confront sin, and we have to say that sin is sin. That's what the Word of God says. So it's sin. Joshua, in his farewell address to the children of Israel, said in chapter 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jesus came to disrupt and bring division in the current situation and say, you've got to make a choice. Are you going to choose God, or are you going to choose some other God? And if you go back and study history, the period of time that's between the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures, the children of Israel had fallen into some pretty bad things. There was a lot of corruption that was going on in the priesthood. There was corruption in other things. Things were being bought. Why do you think Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple? Just because he didn't like them selling the stuff there? It was because of all the corruption that was going on there. It was a sign of the corruption that was taking place in the temple. We have to understand some of these things. There was a purpose behind that. Yeah, there were people who could not maybe bring a sacrifice, and this may have started out to be a good thing for them, that you could come there and you could purchase your sacrifice without having to travel however many miles bringing this sacrifice with you. But all of a sudden it became a business, and we've made a business out of this now, and we're ripping the people off in most cases there as well, is what was happening. That's why I got angry, why I got upset. He's come to cause us to choose sides. You've got to choose which side you're going to be on. Are you going to be on God's side? Are you going to be on the devil's side? Because there's only two sides. It's not like there's a third option out there somewhere, because there isn't. You're either on God's side or you're automatically on the devil's side. And he's saying, I've come to bring division here. You've got to choose. I've come to bring choice here. You got to choose which side you're going to be on, who you're going to follow after. John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, said, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, whose latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and whose fan is in his hand. And he will purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Now, let's read this last verse again, because we've got an old English word in there. Whose fan? What it means is his winnowing fork. He's separating it out. He come to separate out the wheat from the chaff. He's come to do this. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation of the people who want to follow God from the people who don't want to follow God. And let's face it, folks, there are people out there who really just don't want to follow God. We have built into us, into our nature, a desire for God. But the thing is, that got corrupted, and our desire for God can be a God that we make out of stone, and we'll follow a God that's made out of stone. And I think it is so ridiculous to follow a God that's made out of a rock. You know? Yet people will give their lives, willingly give their lives, for a God made out of a rock. But I chose to follow a God who is the living God, who is the one true God. But that choice is a choice that we have to make. We have to say, I am going to follow God. And it's a choice that every human being has to make. I choose to follow God, or I can do nothing, and I can choose to follow the things of Satan. Simple as that. So Jesus said, I put a choice there, and I'm going to separate out the wheat and the chaff. This is what John the Baptist is saying that Jesus is coming to do. Jesus, in another place, describing what would take place in the second coming, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. He says, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. It'll be separated out. And I know there's people out there today that are preaching everybody's going to heaven. Some of them kicking and screaming. But everybody's going to heaven. But that's not what the Word of God has to say. It never said that. God desires that everybody would go to heaven. That's why he sent Jesus. So that everybody would have the opportunity to go to heaven. But we have to make the choice. That's where the division comes in. We either choose or we don't choose. You see, getting to heaven's not really all that hard. All we've got to say is, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sin, and accept what Jesus did for us. He didn't say you've got to go out and do this or do that or do this other thing. Just accept Jesus as your Savior, follow after him, and get to heaven. But you know what? Getting to hell is even easier. Just do nothing. Just do absolutely nothing. And that's where you'll end up. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's a division there again. And sometimes because you're a Christian, there's a division. People don't want anything to do with you, maybe. Or you're shunned a little bit. Don't associate with that old fuddy-duddy. They're a Christian, and they're no fun. Ever had that happen to you? I know some people have. Just don't have anything to do with them. You know, they're a wet blanket. Put a damper on our fun. I tell you, some of the funniest people I've ever been around have been Christians. Because we can have fun as a Christian. But we can also serve God as a Christian. And we can do what God has called us to do. But there are those that say, no, don't want to be a Christian because I couldn't have fun. And quite honestly, I don't drink. But I could never understand why a person thought it was so much fun to go out to some place, spend a lot of money, and come home with a magnificent headache. And so sick the next morning, you can hardly get out of bed. Would somebody please explain to me where the fun is at in that? I don't see it. But Jesus has come to give us life, and to give us life more abundantly. But it's a choice that we have to make, and a decision that is totally ours. So when people reproach us, cast our name out, they're doing it as if they were doing it to Jesus himself. It's not just an attack on you, it's an attack on Jesus himself. But there's a time of separation. Yes, there is a separation. There's a separation of good from bad, good from evil. Those that are saved and those that are not saved. There's always that division that's going to be there. But we need to, as Christians, we need to get our act together, though, and band together and serve God to the full intent of our hearts, our souls, all of our strength, everything we could put into it, believing what the Word of God has to say and following after what the Word of God has to say. And Father, I thank you for your blessings, for the word this morning, and I just pray, Father, that it would have touched someone this morning, would have encouraged them or blessed them or whatever, Father, that it would have met a need in their life. I thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.